welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 365 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Sean, with me, Edward Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. Me, Sean Orford, I wish.
Identity crisis.
I know, yeah. I've not gone that grey yet. I'm getting there, though, aren't I? Never mind.
This is white.
Hey, we've got one episode for every day of the year. How about that?
Yeah, well, and that means someone could spend the next year listening to us every day. Poor souls.
Imagine. We're going to try and pick apart the current, well, there are various angles of chaos in the world at the moment, but we've got some serious stuff going on in the States at the moment with protests and it's crazy times, man, but we're going to try and go over that today. Before we do, a quick note to our website, liveinthepresent.co.uk, for all the show notes and links. Sean's written a blog post to accompany this episode, as he always does, and some free meditation files, which I can recommend probably more than ever at the moment to listeners that might need to just unplug from the world for a little bit every day. Probably quite worthwhile, would you say, Sean?
I'd say definitely.
What have you been up to, man? How's it going?
Not that I'm biased. For me,
yeah,
it's good. Been doing we're back out to doing our 5Ks Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we went for a 40K bike ride on the weekend.
So not bad.
We've got this getting fit campaign going on here.
I like it. Very good. Yeah. Where did you get to then?
Went from here to Nesson and then down to Chester.
Yeah. Beautiful. Cool. Yeah. No, we did a bit of a round trip with the fam as well. We went out to Thurstiston through Irby and then back down the rural way to Williston and then back home via Thornton Hough. So we got about, 35K, 22 miles, 23 miles it was.
Yeah.
And it's pretty hot at the moment here in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they say it's going to cool down from tomorrow.
Yeah.
So,
all good. But where it's not really cooling down, if anything, it's heating up in America. And many cities and countries around the world standing in solidarity. George Floyd, a black American, was killed. Should we say murdered by a police officer? Is that too strong a language? I don't think so.
Well, I think that it's starting to sound very clearly like you can't dispute that. And the issue, there's a lot of four-lettered language is going on in this house at the moment, with some members of the family shouting at television screens. But the issue has to be, what's the outcome? Is it okay for a police officer to do that and get away with it? What happens? Because there seems to be quite a lot of evidence that people are talking about where that's been the case in the past. And is that right?
Yeah, I'm struggling to know where to start with this one, really, because, I mean, there is a video of the guy, George Floyd's death, which I've seen little bits of, and it's not, you know, it's not pleasant viewing at all. Obviously, the officer in charge who's restraining him excessively, I would say. And then there's a few officers, his colleagues, standing by and watching and not doing much to kind of stop
him. There seems to be evidence at the moment. I'm listening to a medical guy that, as well as the guy that was leaning on his neck, there was someone else who was leaning on his back. And it was the combination of those two things particularly that seemed to have done it.
But, yeah. So, I mean, he died. It's horrendous. But he's not the first black person to die or to be mistreated by the police in America, seemingly. And it's kind of, I'm interested to know initially why, I wonder why this one in particular, this incident has kind of was the breaking point for campaigners and for protesters. Wonder what was special about this one to make things spill over? Or is it just 400 years of accumulation and one on top of the other, and finally the dam breaks? What do you think?
I don't think that you can treat a group of people the way that the African Americans have been treated, and there not to be some kind of residual resentment that goes from generation to generation. And they clearly do not have the same status as the rest of their fellow citizens. And inevitably, at some point, that has to kind of boil over into something. Now, one of the things that you were saying when we were chatting earlier on is it because of COVID and we've been in lockdown and all the fears and the problems that is a part of the process that leads to that boiling over point? And, I mean, there have been riots in the past when people have been killed by the police. This one seems to be much bigger, I think, and I think a lot of the stuff gets bigger because Trump seems to have the ability to throw petrol on the fire rather than water, and to make it more explosive and more difficult.
I was in bed last night and I saw a news alert saying President Trump about to deliver a special message to the nation, and I was kind of, my heart sank, and I switched it on to have a look, and sure enough, he's just for kind of fanning the fires, really, isn't he? And calling in the army and the National Guard and saying that cities or places that don't enforce the lockdown or enforce kind of curfew, he'll send in the army on their behalf and protect the citizens and all that kind of stuff. So, not the most diplomatic of people to have in charge at a time like this.
He's not a peacemaker, is he? I'm very impressed by Martin Luther King, who, I have a dream. You know, the kind of speeches, the kind of things that he shared about love and about people working together. And then you look at Nelson Mandela, who comes out from solitary confinement. He could have created a bloodbath in South Africa, but he didn't. Yeah, he tried to work it the other way. And it's like, I'm sure there's lots of people that have done bad things, but to me, they're two examples of people who have tried to do something in a loving, caring way.
Yeah.
And if those people, because of the colour of their skin or wherever they come from, are seen as less than, are seen as not as important as, then what they say doesn't have the value. It's not given the value by the rest of society. And maybe that's globally, not just locally. To me, the whole thing is outrageous. And it's outrageous that 400 years after slavery began, we're still doing this kind of stuff. What an awful thing to actually to look at in us as human beings. That's terrible.
It's crazy. A bit of a high level question here then. So does protest work? What should we be doing?
Well, the protest works if you win, doesn't it? It doesn't if you lose. And the thing is that when you've got someone like Trump, you're going to go nose to nose. You're going to be toe to toe on. It's like, you use the word kind of civil war, civil unrest. You know, I mean, I don't know at what point something like that becomes a civil war. And lots of the African Americans that I've seen interviewed don't want any of this aggression and violence. And some people are talking about white supremacists actually trying to infiltrate the situation to make it worse, to make it appear worse. I don't know the realities of any of that. All I know is, and I keep saying it over and over again, I should keep on saying it forever, if we could just look after each other, we're all going to be all right. You know, there's enough food for us all. There's enough water for us all. There's enough everything for us all if we share it. And we're not. And this is the thing we were talking about before, about prejudice and groups. It's like, if we're us and they're them, we look after us and we don't look after them. It's only when we allow them to become us that we all work together.
Yeah.
You know? And that, you say it all the time. Is it conservatives and for us it's the conservatives and the Labour Party, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, us and them, you know, black and white, gay and straight, men and women. You know, what's the us group and what's the them group?
Yeah. There are many, many, aren't there? I'm just thinking more about the protest. I mean, what are some positive examples of when protest has worked. I know there's some, we can think of probably negative ones in terms of the Iraq war protests back in the, whatever, 2003, something like that. Didn't work.
But then if the protests about the Iraq war had been successful, then people like Tony Blair and Bush would have been held to account, but they weren't. Mm-hmm. What happened then? The only time I've seen really effective protest in Western democracy in my lifetime is when Maggie Thatcher brought out the poll tax and people were not prepared to pay it. And in the end, she had to repeal it. And there were mass demonstrations and people were just saying, no, we're not going to pay it. And she had to repeal the act. And that's the only time I've ever seen in our society. It happens in France quite a lot. The farmers in France are pretty good. If the government do something that they disagree with, they'll just tip out on the street and just say, you know, no, have no, stop it. You know. But then they went through a revolution, didn't they? You know? Napoleon.
Yeah. Fascinating history, isn't it? I mean, do you think that, will divides like this always exist? Or is it, are we capable humans of, I don't want to be on too much of a down here, but there's never, we're never going to have that perfect utopian society, are we, where everyone's happy and well.
The way that I see it is that evolution is taking place. And for us, it's the evolution of human consciousness. You know, there are things that we don't do now that used to be normal. So the things like slavery is actually legal, whereas in the past, a lot of the European finance houses were built on the slave trade and on the opium trade and stuff like that. You know, that's where the richness of the empire came from.
There's some little statues and little cuttings within buildings in Liverpool and plenty of roads named after... it's on show there, you know, and some quite interesting tools you can go off on normally when you're
yeah.
Which explain the history. You know, a place like Liverpool, which was at one point the wealthiest city in the world, possibly, or right up there, built on slavery, a lot of it, really.
And it's okay for us to be kind of snotty about the Americans, but we were doing it too, you know. In fact, my great grandmother was a slave from the West Indies. She was half African, half Chinese.
That's it. I'm ending the podcast. I didn't realise.
I'll bring you a picture of it. It's actually beautiful.
I think I've seen that in the past. Actually, I'm sure you've sent. We've got a picture on the show notes one. We've got a bit of work to do. I guess what I'm getting at is that, you know, we're in an age now in history where we've got multiple catastrophes unfolding and, you know, some serious crises that are snowballing and layering on top of each other. And a lot of people are kind of wanting to, even if you just look at the pandemic, are desperate for things to go back to normal, aren't they? And they're desperate for some semblance of normality. But normal doesn't exist, and that perfect utopia, maybe that doesn't exist either. Maybe we should. Maybe the work and all this heartache and struggle that so many of us are going through. Maybe this is the joy of life itself, and this is the type of thing we should be embracing. And, you know, not enjoying isn't the right word. No, but
I think there's a change going on. I think that at a social level for us, it's the end of the empire. So the European empires have peaked. And come to that, the American empire's probably peaked as well. And what's going to fill the vacuum? Is it going to be China? Russia is making a bit of a dash to see whether they can fill the vacuum. I don't know where that goes over this next period. Europe won't be the first world, you know, in a little while. It may be the second world, it won't be the third world. But it's not going to be on the top table as the power base moves. Yeah, and as in a capitalist system, the power is with the money. And once the money moves away from Europe, then the power goes.
Yep.
But I think that in the same way that we don't condone slavery anymore, I think that there are things that change. We don't do bear baiting anymore. There aren't kind of bare knuckle boxing fights going on in the streets. You know, we don't put women in ducking stalls and stick them in ponds. You know, I mean, I think that, that society does evolve. The problem is it evolves very slowly. And there's always the issue we can kind of flip back. So that if you think about the Irish situation with the Protestants and the Catholics, how easy would it be for that to flip back to how it was? I don't know how close that is or whether it's resolved. Yeah?
Mm.
But again, it's another group of us and them. It, as long as we keep doing this us and them thing, then we will never get unity in the world. We have to see people as equal. You know, there can't be people that are less than and people that are more than. It has to be an equality of person. And unless we do that, there will always be wars and strife and problems. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to put, well, there's loads of links I've got actually to stick in this, this week. Loads of fascinating stuff, including the history of slavery, which I need to read up on myself. There's a Jane Elliott video. She's quite a recognised speaker, I think. A short little video she did that's doing the rounds on Facebook and Twitter today of asking a room full of white people to stand up if they would be happy, you know, all non-racist audience, but stand up if you'd be happy to be treated the way a black person is. And none of them stand up. And then she asks, well, why aren't you doing anything about it? You know?
Yeah, if you know it.
Yeah. So, yeah, but there's also one that I'm going to use as my resource of the week, really, which I've only just skim read to start with. But it's how to really change society. So have you got any tips, Sean, on how a person can change society without losing their life in the way that someone like George Floyd has? You know, his legacy will hopefully be a good one, but he had to die under the knee of a police officer. So how can we do it without going through that?
Well, there's two things that I'd say. One is the problem with the protests that come after his death, understandable though they may be, just plays into the hands of people that so it kind of rebuilds the prejudice. And really, the people that have the most powerful effect to me are the people who can use love and tranquility. So you have Gandhi, who actually managed to get the whole of the British Empire out of the subcontinent peacefully. Mm. You know, that was amazing what he did. He didn't get an army together and go and fight them. He actually sat down and said, okay, I'm going to fast to death if you don't do something about this. And it became such an issue, they had to do something. You know? And so, I mean, there are lots of alternatives. But there's one thing, and this is the sticking point for me. If I look at Donald Trump, and if I look at a lot of the British politicians that we've got, we have people that are quite high on the spectrum of psychopathy. And by that, a psychopath to me, and I'm owning this identification of what I'm saying, a psychopath is somebody who has no insight and no empathy. That's why someone can be a mass murderer and a killer and a torturer, because they don't get it. And the problem is, and it's a spectrum, so it goes from mass murderers right the way down to insensitive people, but it's a spectrum of lack of empathy, lack of sensitivity, yeah? Lack of insight. And if you look at someone like Donald, God bless him, it's like there's times when he doesn't get it. And he doesn't get it not because he's an evil, stupid person. He doesn't get it because he doesn't have the capacity to get it. Yeah. If someone speaks Welsh and you keep talking to them in Mandarin, they won't get it. They don't understand because they don't speak that language. And the problem is when you go to someone like Trump and you suggest to him that actually you might like to try and do some nice things because that would make life easier, he doesn't get it.
I know, I mean, before all this kicked off, just a few days before, there was the SpaceX. Oh no, it was kind of happened at a similar time. The SpaceX launch, where they got the two astronauts into orbit, and it's quite a big moment for you know, potentially a big moment for humankind's history. You know, if we're going to start sending people out into the universe, further afield. But he did this short speech not long after launch. And I kind of felt sorry for him in some ways because, you know, there were people looking on at the side, you know, heads of NASA and all that kind of stuff and astronauts from days gone by. And they were waiting for him to say something kind of beautiful and to really crown the moment. And he just couldn't because you could just tell that he didn't understand the enormity of what was happening or that what had just happened. And even though it was this amazing scene of a rocket taking off in front of him, you know, a couple of miles away, that probably made his hair stand on end, or most people. And he just didn't get it. And he just said, fluffed a few lines about the military and the space military that they've got coming down the line. And it just kind of left everyone feeling a bit flat. it's hilarious. And he's in charge. It's crackers. Mm-hmm. Weird.
But one of the problems when you're working with those kinds of people, and I, you know, working in psychiatry and stuff like that, it's like there are certain kinds of personality because of the way that their system is set that do not understand what you're talking about. And you can talk about love, peace, happiness, and wouldn't it be good if, and they think, why? Why should I take their country? Why can't I just go and get it? Yeah. Or the idea of the Europeans moving to Australia and take it off the Aborigines or going into New Zealand. I mean, so many times it happens around the world. What happens when a group of people arrive on our shore? And even that's a joke because most of us are Anglo-Saxons or Vikings. We're not Britons. We're not the Celts. Until we get hold of the idea that, you know, imagine there's no heaven, you know, imagine there's no countries, you know, the song. And it's like if you could imagine a world where there were no borders and people did look after each other and it was okay. You know, if you can imagine it, we can do it. But the problem is everyone's fearful. So that at points like this, everybody wants to pull the drawbridge up. You know, go away, leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can all die of the coronavirus. We'll stay here, okay?
A bit of a counterpoint to, because I'm seeing a lot of stuff online on social media today about what we can do to help. You know, whether you're a black person or not, or whether you're in the United States or not, what can we do? But is there a certain, and this is a question rather than a statement, is there a certain amount of sitting on the river and just watching the madness zoom by needed a little bit at the moment?
I think that there is part of that, but Ree has a sign up in the hallway here, and I can't quote it exactly, but it says something like, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family, and something like that.
Cool.
Right? And it's that kind of stuff, isn't it? If I focused on loving the people around me, if when I walked down the road, I said to people, hiya, how you doing? You know, and I started to build this thing called community. And one of the things that I do respect about the work that you do and your environmental stuff and the cycling and stuff like that is I really understand what you mean. If people are on foot or they're kind of moving slowly, they interact and you create community. If people are flying around in metal boxes, you don't talk to anybody. No, community breaks down. And I really get that. But we can all do that. We can do that right now, today. We can check out the people in our street. And if there are people that are ethnically different, you know, maybe we need to go out of our way and check them out. How are you? You know, maybe try and understand, you know, what's life like for you then?
Yeah.
You know?
There are little things that we can do. It doesn't have to be grand, or it doesn't have to reach 100,000 people on Facebook or any of that kind of stuff, does it?
No. It's being able to just turn to another person and positively and kindly offer them love and support. That's enough. If we all did that, if everybody did that, we'd crack it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? The problem is the people that listen to this, they go, what's the point of that? Waste of bloody time, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, make sure you come within 2 meters of them. An added extra little barrier at the moment. Dear me. All right. What's your resource then, Sean?
Well, I want that the Jane Elliott clip of her confronting in a very subtle way that audience and them so easily slipping into her point, which was they are actually allowing black people to be treated negatively and not doing anything about it.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll stick that up and I'll see if I can find anything else by her, actually, something a bit longer form, because it looks like she's got some interesting stuff to say. I'm going to put that blog post up, How to Really Change Society. It's on thesunmagazine.com.
Yeah.
I'll put that up in the links below. And we have had a few emails in the last couple of weeks from people who would like us to talk about certain topics, so we'll get stuck in with that next week. But yeah, do get in touch if there's anything else. Yeah, because what were we going to talk about today, Sean, before I kiboshed it?
Sleep. It's not just one, but one person particularly said, could we do one on it? But other people have been talking about it. Since they've been in lockdown, their sleep pattern's gone. So whereas they regimentedly got up at certain times of day, went to work and did stuff, now they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And people are talking to me about, how do I get my routine and my system back so I can actually go to work? Because I don't feel like I can go to work anymore. Now, I think there's going to be a lot of people like that. Interesting thing to look at. Yeah.
I spent 3 nights sleeping in a tent in the garden over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We all did as a family of four. It's a 3-man tent, but we can all just about get in there quite comfortably. we all slept amazingly, actually, all four of us. Like, the lads slept in longer than they normally do. And even
so,
though,
did you have air beds or were you on the ground?
We just threw a load of duvets down and then. Yeah, a couple more blankets on.
You should have given me a shout, because I could have given you air beds and another tent.
Well, next time. I'm sure it won't be the last time during this during this pandemic that we'll be sleeping in the garden.
Yeah.
All right, I'll end it there. Hey, Sean, you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Cool. Yeah. All righty. We'll be back next week for more. And in the meantime, Sean, you take care.
And you take care. See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.